Today, I'm excited to get into the word today. My shirt that I have on, as just mentioned, kind of goes with what we want to talk about today. And it's kind of piggybacking off of where we left last week. Before we move, can you pray with me? Can we all pray together? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. And as we come, and as I come, Lord, to give your word, I pray that you will replace my words with your words. God, you know what we need and when we need it. And I pray right now for someone watching me, wherever they are, whatever method they're using to watch, on their phone, online, on computer, on their screen. God, I pray that you will meet them right where they are, in their living room, in their car, wherever they are, and speak to their hearts and challenge us, Lord. Challenge and change us. Lord God, we don't need more information, but we, Lord, want you to transform us. We need transformation today. Speak to our hearts. We praise you. We pray for our nation. I pray for the family, God. We lift up the family of George Floyd. We lift up the city of Minneapolis, but not just the city of Minneapolis. We lift up the entire nation as we are, Lord God, are in an effort to reconcile or to deal with the issue of race in our country and the issue of racism in our country. Lord, help us as the church. Lord, this last year we've been battling this. Help us as the church to be at the forefront. Speak truth to power and have your heart. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I mentioned the church has left the building. It's time for the church to get our hands dirty, y'all. It's time for us. I believe that, as I mentioned last week, that God has chosen to move in a mighty way over the last over 1 year, just over a year. COVID-19 came in. Many of us thought, man, we would just be inconvenienced for a little while. We had no idea we'd be doing what we're doing right now. But I believe it's the Lord has a word for those of us who are part of the body of Christ, those of us who are followers of Christ. We gotten too comfortable in the church. I think we got too comfortable in the building. And so he used a global pandemic to stir things up and to open our eyes to some of the ills that are in our society. We use the killing of innocent black men and the racial tension, the insurrection at the Capitol, the polarized nature of our country during our election, and he's just kind of opened our eyes to show us how messed up we really are. And when God said, "Look, church, I've placed you there to be an agent of change." The Lord's Prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm here to tell you, God has called us as the body of Christ to enlarge his kingdom and his will to be done on earth. And he wants to use us as a role to play a role in that. But too often we've been too busy worrying about how our outfits look in church and how we sound on the choir than really making an impact in people's lives. And so we talked about on Easter Sunday how Jesus came to promise to give us life. And then after Easter Sunday, we Pastor Devin Turner talked about, listen, our behavior and the way we behave only changes when we change the way we think. And then last week we talked about us as a church, that we all are part of this body of Christ, that if we're alive, we ought to look alive. We looked at a church in Acts chapter 2 that was alive. They had an A, affection for the word of God. They were loving. They were like-minded. And this is the kind of church. They were a church that was known for inspiring worship and incredible wonders. And they had vibrant prayer. And then they were engaging the culture and evangelizing. That's A-L-I-V-E. They were alive. God is calling the church to look alive. But maybe the Lord chose to close some doors because the church hadn't been looking alive. And we forgot the mission. We forgot what God has called us to be about. So my prayer today, church, is that if you're watching me, that you be on mission. And that's where we're coming from today. Look, we talked about looking alive, and part of looking alive is that last letter, E, was engaging the culture and evangelizing. And if we're going to make a difference, we got to engage the culture. We got to enter in where they are. And right now, man, just this past week, a few days ago, there was a verdict that was received on the George Floyd case, and many people celebrated. But what it has done, it's a time to celebrate. We're happy that justice is done, but also it's a sad time to say, look, it takes all of this in order for people's eyes to be open to a sin that has not been dealt with in this country. And a sin that has not been dealt with, for some reason, the church has been implicit in the problem. That's a whole nother sermon. I'm not going to get all in that, but I'm talking about being on a mission. And if we're going to have the mind of our Savior, Jesus Christ, look, he told us what we need to be about, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And today we're going to talk about being on mission. You know, it reminds me of my little son, my son Andrew. He's playing soccer, and he's 7 years old. And yeah, I'm telling you, out of the mouth of babes, you know, we can learn a lot from kids. And one day I was sitting in practice, and anybody who knows Andrew, he got that dog in him. Sometimes I gotta pull his coattails. He got that dog in him. So I'm sitting over there all the way across the field in my little chair, and I'm watching Andrew at practice, and I'm hearing him talking to these little boys, and he's having little boys raise their hand. I'm like, man, what is he doing? I said, and after practice, I said, Andrew, what were you saying to them little kids that had them all raising their hand? He said, Daddy, do you know that little boy in that shirt said there is God didn't create the world? So I was just going out and making sure he told everybody, who believes God created the world? And all little kids raising their hand. Who believes that Jesus is real? All the kids raised their hand. And I laughed, but I was excited at the same time. Because that dog that he takes into sports, he took it into proclaiming truth. You know what? He said, look, God tells us we got to become like little children. My son Andrew at 7, he didn't know it, but he was on the mission. He was proclaiming where he was going and said, look, I'm being on mission. I'm telling everybody, yeah, God did create the world. And, you know, our kids, man, if we could be more like children, when we could just do what God has called us to do in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Can we look there really quick? And I'm going to talk about being on mission. You know, those of you who love watching Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, you always know at the beginning when he gets that mission, they said, listen, this is what the mission is if you choose to accept it. And I want to read to you the mission that God has given to us as the church, that Jesus Christ has given to you and I, those of us who are his followers, to us as the church. The question is, will you choose to accept it? The mission is found here in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Church, God is calling us to go make disciples. He's not calling us to build bigger buildings. He's not calling us to have a nicer singing choir. He's not calling us, man. He's calling us to go make disciples. And I believe a lot of times, man, God convicted me, man. He said, when is the last time you've gone and really been about his mission? We can get so distracted with everything else. And God said, I'm going to strip down everything. I'm going to strip down all the trappings, all the things that distract you guys and cause you to be on a mission. You know what, COVID has really exposed that. You know, I looked at some statistics the other day, and one of them said that 35 million Americans who seldom pray or darken the door of the church have started praying during the pandemic. 35 million Americans. You know, another statistic I saw that almost two-thirds of Americans, 62% of them, believe that the coronavirus is some kind of message from God to humanity to change the way they live. You know what that tells me? That it says that there are people out there who may have never gone to church, who may have never thought about praying, that now they're open to hear and saying, God, you're saying something, but I don't know what it is that you're saying. But, you know, that was encouraging to me to show that people's hearts are open. But what was discouraging to me when I read the other side of some of these statistics, and what it said is that almost 50% of Christians think that most non-Christians have no interest in hearing about Jesus. Another stat that I saw that says 78% of the unchurched would listen to someone who shared what they believed about Christianity. But unfortunately, over 70% of them said that they've never been invited to church by somebody by their church friends. That was disturbing. Only 8% of regular churchgoers believe that sharing their faith is very important. Church, this right here, Matthew chapter 28, is what the mission is. The Great Commission is to be our mission. And what is it? Listen, I'm gonna give you that word. Y'all know I got a word that we're gonna spell out for you today. And today is mission. I'm on a mission. I want you to look at somebody in your house, your living room, your bedroom, wherever you're watching this, and say, we're on a mission. See, the mission is what he says, go make disciples. And if we're going to fulfill the mission of our Savior and what he's called us to do, the letter M, the first thing, it must be motivated by love. It must be motivated by love. I love this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. It says this, for Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all die. Christ's love compels us. What does that mean? Does it mean my love for Christ? No, it means his love for me. It's not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins. See, in order for me to be on mission, I got to be motivated by love. I got to be motivated first by God's love, his unconditional love for me, even though I didn't do anything to deserve it. Even though the Bible says that there's none who seek after him. He said in that while I was still a sinner, he came after me. He came after you. That's love. When somebody loves you like that, man, it makes you want to love them back. And in order for us to be on mission, you gotta have a firm grasp on the magnitude of God's love for you. This is what the apostle said, that they would understand the depth, the width, the height, the breadth of his love, of your love for us. That's what God wants you to do. Become familiar with God's love for you. We just celebrated Easter. Easter is a demonstration, is the ultimate demonstration of that love. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. When somebody lays down their life for you, how do you respond? Jesus Christ did it for you. You got to be motivated by love. You must be motivated by his love for you. When you receive that love, what do? You reciprocate with that love. But not only that, it's his love for you. But now that love, his love for you leads to something. You look in Matthew chapter 22. Verse 37 through 40, we talked about the Great Commission, but I love the Great Commandment. He says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Look at that. You get the vertical right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. See, I love him because I've received his love. And when I've loved him, what does it lead to? It leads to a horizontal relationship where I love others. Listen, if you're not motivated by love, you ain't gonna be on a mission. You're not gonna be on a mission. Church, we gotta be marked by God's love. I said last week that church that was alive, the second letter in alive was L. They were loving. Why were they loving? Because they had received the love of Christ. And having received that love, they reciprocated that love. And they demonstrated their love for God, how you love people. Today, I'm going to tell you, part of being on mission is you got to be motivated by love. Church, we got to love folks. We got to love the unlovable. Why? Because I was unlovable. Because I was unlovable. I didn't do anything to endear myself to God. Listen, what I know about my God, he falls in love with messed up folks. The more I look at David in the scripture and I see he was a murderer, he was a liar, he was a cheater, he was a manipulator, but God said he was a man after his own heart. He chose to use him. God loves folks that seem to be unlovable. The mission must be motivated by love, but the next letter in mission is I. This is what I also know about the mission. I, guess what? It's imperative, and it involves everybody. The mission is imperative, and it involves all of us. What does he say? Go. Look at the verse. Look, if we go back to our text, he says what? He says right here, he says, go into all the world, he tells us. Go and make disciples. That is not a suggestion. That is a commandment. That is something that is imperative, something that you must do. Go into all the world. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is not suggesting that you go. He's saying, that's what I created you to do. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That's what we are to be. It's imperative, church. It's something that must happen. He says he will build his church, but he's going to use us. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 again, verses 18 and 19. He says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has what? Committed to us the message of reconciliation. Who has he given the message to? Us. Today, the mission is imperative, and it involves you, and it involves me. It's not the pastor's job only. It's not the chairman of the evangelism committee only. It's not the missionary in Africa, the missionary in Europe, the missionary in D.C., the missionary wherever they are in Atlanta. It's not the missionary in the States. It's not just the missionary's job. It's your job. You and I are to be the missionaries. It is imperative, and it involves all of us. He's given to you. He's given to me the message of reconciliation. Kind of reminds me, but last week, if you guys watched last week, we gave this hilarious illustration of a football team. And the football team, they got in a huddle, and as they got in the huddle, they were discussing the plays, and then when they broke the huddle, the football team just stayed on the sidelines, and the only one to go out to run a play was the coach. And the coach just got destroyed. And they asked the players on the sideline, why was the coach going out? Somebody, you know, he's been prepared for this. He's the only one. He's got more information. And it was kind of an illustration of a church where the pastor's doing all the work. Here to tell you, you are, if you've come to know Christ as Savior and Lord, now he has enlisted you into ministry. He said, now you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's anointed you to go forward as a minister. You don't need nobody to put their hands on you and ordain you. Once you have accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, now you are a royal priesthood. Go represent him and represent him well. It involves you, the mission. You must be motivated by love. It involves all of us, and it is imperative. It is not an option. But S, what is God calling you to do? He's S, you must submerge those that we're going out to minister to. We must submerge the mission in prayer. You can't go out there in your own strength. You got to submerge them in prayer. The church that Acts was a church that had vibrant prayer. And I'm here to tell you, church, God is driving us to our knees. I praise God for the prayer call that we have here every day in Encounter Life. We have a world that needs to be submerged in prayer. We've got a nation that needs to be submerged in prayer. I'm reminded of my mother. My mom had one of her brothers that she wanted to see come to Christ. And I remember as a little boy, every night from the time I was elementary school age till I was a grown man, my mother prayed for her brother to come to receive Christ. And I remember the Sunday when he came down the aisle. I was grown. I may have been out of college at the time. And my uncle, this man that my mother had prayed for days and days and days, she submerged her family in prayer. She submerged her brother in prayer till he came to Christ. I'm here to tell you, when we want to see people come to the kingdom, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. We got to submerge that thing in prayer. You got somebody today, somebody's watching me. You got a family member. There's somebody who got a spouse right now you want to see come to Christ. You got to submerge them in prayer. Don't get angry at them. Don't get frustrated at them. Submerge them in prayer. Somebody's watching who's got a child right now that you want to see come to Christ. You want to see come back. They may have grown up in the church and they've strayed away. You're waiting for them to come back. You need to submerge them in prayer. It's not going to be in the person that talks to them. It's not going to be in the type of ability that in the message. You know what? You got to submerge them in prayer. The Holy Spirit does it. Listen, he does the saving. Salvation is of the Lord, but he's calling us to be dependent on him. How should we be praying as we submerge him in prayer? How should we pray? I'm going to give us some suggestions very quickly. You can write these down. We're going to give you some suggestions and have some scripture with them. But how should we be praying? Asking God how we pray. Ask God to open their spiritual eyes. Do you know belief comes from God? Faith is a gift from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us the devil has blinded the God of this age has blinded them so that they cannot believe. I need to ask God to open their spiritual eyes. I never forget hearing this from one of our good brothers here at our Encounter Life. Brother Leon Fuller told me, look, he remembers the day he gave his life to Christ. And he said that pastor preached that same word probably every week. But it was not until one particular week that he heard it. God had to open his eyes. That same word had come forward. He didn't hear it then, but at just the right time, God opened the eyes. Pray for God, open their eyes. Ask God to give them the ears to hear. Ask God, give them the faith to believe. Not only that, ask God to give them the will to respond. It is him who works you in you the will and the do of his good pleasure. Ask God to send people in their lives to witness to them. Do you know that you may not be the one to win them to Christ? You might be just one to plant the seed. You need to be asking God, look, God, if I got a kid, I got a son, I got a child who's away in college there, I got a child who's moved out of the area, God, send somebody their way who will share the good news with them. Man, just asking God to send people into their lives. Ask God for ways to build caring relationships and so that you can kind of connect with people. Asking God to give you an opportunity to witness. You know, that's something we need to do every day. God, open my eyes to the opportunity to share my faith, to share the good news. And ask God for boldness to witness, because sometimes it can be scary. There's some of us out here who are scared, but look, you got to go stand because you're going not in your strength, but in his. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Look, and ask God to set them free from any spiritual captivity, any bondage that might be holding them. We got to submerge them in prayer. If we're going to be on mission, we got to be motivated by love. We must understand that it is imperative and it involves all of us. S, we must submerge them in prayer. But the next essence mission is we have to see people with the eyes of Jesus. See people with the eyes of Jesus, not with the eyes of judgment. Y'all got that? See people with the eyes of Jesus, not with the eyes of judgment. And what are the eyes of Jesus? How do they look? Matthew 9:36 shows us. It said Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Today, God is calling us as the church to see people with Christ's eyes, not to look down on them. To understand that, but if it weren't for the grace of God, that would be me. If not for the grace of God, there go I. Listen, we got to see people like he did. How did Jesus do it? He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus got his hands dirty. And as he looked at people who looked, that were different, and he saw people who may have had other issues, he went to those ones that everybody else would call outcasts and had compassion on them. Why? Because he knew that they didn't even know. He said, look, even when he was on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today, church, sometimes we get a testimony of being judgmental, looking down at folks who have a different lifestyle and a different way of living. I'm here to tell you, you know, God didn't call you to change nobody's lifestyle. Holy Ghost can do that by himself. I love it. I want to give a huge shout out to Dr. David Anderson, Bridgeway Community Church, but he said something that really struck me at one of our men's retreats, and he said, look, all we have to do is love people like Jesus, lead them to Jesus, and leave them with Jesus. See them through the eyes of our Savior. How is that? With the eyes of compassion. He loves. He loves them just like they are. I told a family member the other day who was struggling with some issues and he was speaking bad things about himself. I'm telling him, guess what? God loves you just like you are, man, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. We're going to be on mission. We got to see people through the eyes of our Savior. I say it all the time. People want to know, do you really care about him? I said it last week. Well, caring comes, and when you care for people, that leads to connection. And when they connect, then they'll be willing to commit. Caring first, then connection, and then commitment. People want to know, do you really care about them? Are we on a mission? Yes, we're on a mission, y'all. And will you choose to accept the mission? If you choose to accept the mission, and listen, the fields are ripe with harvest. I already told you, 35 million people since the pandemic said, now I'm praying, and I've never prayed before. I've never even gone to church before. 62% of our country says that, listen, I believe that this pandemic is God trying to tell us something. People are open. 78% of the population said they would listen if somebody at least talked to me about their faith. And they're open, they're ready, but they're looking for people who are motivated by love. Listen, you got to understand, people who are intentional and understand this is an imperative mission, and it involves all of us. And you got to submerge them in prayer, and you got to see people with compassion, the eyes of Jesus. And the next letter is I. The next letter in mission is I. And what is that? I see people with the eyes of Jesus. And then when I see them with the eyes of Jesus, you know what I have to do? I must invest in the lives of those who haven't been reached. See, seeing them is one thing, but now investing in them is something completely different. It kind of reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan. See, with the story of the Good Samaritan, he could have. There are many people who saw the man who had been beaten down. If those of you don't know, it's a story of a man who was on this journey, and as he was walking along, some robbers came along and they beat him up, and he was on the side of the road, and all these church people came by. One person came and saw, walked by. Another one saw him and walked on the other side of the road. But then that Good Samaritan came and saw, knelt down, and tended to his wounds. What you got to do, we got to see people with the eyes of Jesus. See, the Good Samaritan, if he saw him and had compassion on him, but that compassion didn't move him into action, then what was it? Just reading in the scriptures, faith without works is dead. We got to invest in the lives of people. So when I see them with the eyes of Jesus and have compassion, now I got to go and get my hands dirty. And how can I invest in their lives? What does that mean? How do I add value to you? How do I add value to your life? If I gotta touch you right where you are. Too often we're so busy trying to talk instead of investing in people's lives. People have needs, y'all. What are you saying? Saying, look, people got needs. And yes, we know they have a spiritual need to be saved. But sometimes, you know what? I love what my Savior does, what Jesus did. He dealt with the physical, the natural, then the physical, the natural, then the physical. He met a need. And when we invest in people's lives and meet a need, do you know it opens them up more to hear what you have to say? It prepares their hearts to receive the deeper truth that you have to give. How can you invest in the lives of people who are unreached? How can you invest in the lives of people that are around you to add value to them? Not just preach at them. You know, I got convicted the other day. I was talking at the beginning of a broadcast about this basketball clinic that we're doing. And you know, the other day, the last week, I brought my kids. My kids had had a football game. They had a soccer game. Then I brought them to church to the basketball clinic, and I'm running around. And I got back, and one of my neighbors said, "Hey, bro, what you been doing today?" I said, "Man, I've been running. I went to go play football. My kids had a football game. They had a basketball game. Then we took them to, they had a soccer game. Then we took them to a basketball clinic." Now, this free basketball clinic at our church is a wonderful evangelism tool. But you know how many kids that I brought to that basketball clinic? I brought two, my two boys. And I said, duh. I got home. I'm preaching now. I just talked about engaging the culture. I just talked about engaging the culture. I got a brand new neighbor who has two boys the same age as my two boys. It's about in a couple of months. And I didn't even knock on his door and say, "Man, let me bring your boys to the clinic at my church." That right there is a bad thing. What it mean? I was so wrapped up in what I had to do, I forgot that I'm supposed to be on mission. Investing in the lives. And you know what my brother said when I told him, "Look, I did all this." He said, "Man, I got to get with you out there because he wants something. I want my boys to be involved in something." Wonderful opportunity. Am I saying he doesn't know Christ? I don't even know. Brand new neighbor. But I'm telling you, I didn't invest. I bet you that won't happen again. The next Saturday, though, I bet you it won't happen again. We got to invest in the lives of those who aren't unreached. How can I add value? You know how you have to do that? You got to see. You got to walk with your eyes open. Be aware of the opportunity. Be on mission today, church. He's called us to be on mission, motivated by love. Understand that the mission is imperative and it involves all of us. You must submerge the mission and the individuals in prayer. We got to do that. We got to see people with the eyes of Jesus. That's the eyes of compassion. We must invest in their lives. We must invest in their lives. We got to get out. Listen, stop walking around with our heads looking down, just worried about what we have to do today. God said, walk around with your eyes open and see opportunities where you can invest in somebody else's life to make their life better. Not just tell them, not just give them some words about Jesus. Demonstrate it by how I live. But not only that, the letter O, we got to open our ears before we open our mouths. Open your ears before you open your mouth. James 1:19 says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Slow to what? Speak. That's why he gave you one mouth and two ears. One mouth, two ears. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. So often you might have the Romans road memorized. You might have your spiel that you want to give to share that person with Christ memorized. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's telling you, don't talk, just listen. Kind of reminds me, many of you know, as a physician, what I do, I prescribe medicine. Sometimes when people come to me, they're sick, they have issues. And, you know, as a podiatrist, one of the things I work with a lot are wounds. Last year, we talked about the wound that we have in our country, that race wound. But we deal with wounds all the time. And one of the things I do with a wound is I take a culture. When a patient comes into me, they got a hole in their foot, they got an issue. Before I just give them medicine, what I have to do is I have to swab it and I send it to a lab to just say, listen, I may give them a little something at first, but I go to a lab and then when it comes back, it tells me this is the bacteria that they have and it's acceptable to these different antibiotics. And that's what I prescribe. What do I have to do? I got to get a culture. I got to understand what's growing in the womb before I give the medicine, because sometimes I can prescribe something and the wound get worse. It's not healing. The infection is spreading. Why? Because that bacteria is not susceptible to that antibiotic. I didn't pay attention to what was in the womb. And I'm here to tell you, opening your ears before you're opening your mouth is just like this. You got to know what the need is. You got to know where the hurt is before you can prescribe the medicine. And I'm here to tell you, there is a balm in Gilead that can heal the sin-sick soul. There's a balm in Gilead that can make the wounded whole. It applies to all the wounds, but you got to know where the wound is. How do you do that unless you're opening your ears, y'all? We got to listen. Sometimes, too often right now, if you'll look at the statistics, man, I'm going to go back and read one of these stats that grieved my heart when I read it. It says this, listen to this. It says that 18 to 24-year-olds, the large percent of 18 to 24-year-olds have nothing to do with church at all. I mean, only 12% of the population of 18 to 24-year-olds, our millennials, have anything to do with church at all, see any relevance in their lives at all. 12%. Why? It's because church, we've been answering questions that our young people aren't even asking. You're not listening. My son, it's hard for me to say it. He getting ready to turn 13. And I can see the teen coming out. One of the things that frustrates him the most, when he gets to talking, and I say, and I over-talk, and I'm trying to tell him how to do the other day. He was trying to do this project. He's got an experiment that he's supposed to be doing. And I'm telling, he's got a sign for his health class. I'm a doctor. He's in health class. He's got an experiment. And, I'm waking up. Okay, let me show you how to do an experiment, son. I'm a chemistry minor. I'm a zoology major. I went to medical school. I know how to do an experiment. And I'm trying to tell him how to do the experiment, and he gets uber frustrated. Why? Because he said, Dad, you're not listening to what I'm trying to tell you. Why? Because I was already on science and fix-it mode. I was flexing my doctor muscles, and he said, Daddy, you're not even listening. I already talked to my teacher, and we've already got this worked out, but you're not listening. And it frustrated him, and I'm here to tell you, when you don't listen to people, it's very frustrating. People want to know how much you, listen, they don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Open your ears before you open your mouth. I'm almost done, guys. Listen, we're on a mission. M, motivated by love. I, it's an imperative mission, and it involves all of us. S, we must submerge them in prayer.
ask what it is that we have to see people through the eyes of Jesus. I invest, once we see, invest in their lives and add value. Oh, open your ears before you open your mouth. And then finally, in, and I'm done. Listen, never let your lifestyle nullify your message. Never let your lifestyle nullify your message. I was looking at some statistics done by Lifeway Research. It says 72% of the unchurched believe the church is filled with hypocrites. And I'm here to tell you guys, they may not be far off, because we got to practice what we preach. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is in Corinthians in chapter 9. He says, I keep under my body, I make it my slave, I bring it under subjection, so that lest I preach to others, I become disqualified. I don't want to be disqualified by my lifestyle. What am I saying? Are you going to be perfect? No. Are you going to do everything the right way? No. But you know what you got to be? We got to be striving to practice what we preach, y'all. It's all about being authentic. Practice what we preach. And when I do fall, let them know, look, man, I blew it. I'm a man with feet of clay. I blew it. But don't come up here talking about Jesus and all this and all this and being act like you got your stuff together. Then when I see you on Instagram and Facebook and everything else, you turning up looking like, whoa, what's going on? We're sending two messages. If we're gonna talk about changing lives and transforming lives, we got to practice what we preach. That's the mission, y'all. That's the mission. We got to be on mission. Will you choose to accept it? What is the mission? What did he tell us? In Matthew chapter 28, he says, listen, go into all the world and teach all nations, making disciples. He says, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Guys, let's go. The field is ripe. People are asking questions. People are wondering, but man, listen, where would I go? Another statistic said 48% of Americans are not sure what happens to them after they die. They don't know whether I go to heaven, hell, what happens. They don't know. We've got answers. We've got the healing solution, the healing balm. But the only way that it will be applied is if we go. Scripture says, how will they hear without a preacher? How will we go unless we're sent? I'm telling you, he's sending you. He's looking for us to stand in the gap in the culture. That's why, I believe, that's why church buildings, that we've had to do different things. That's why we are not inside our buildings, and here we're out in the parking lot, and we're at home, because God is saying, now, look, you got a great mission field. There's some of you who've said, listen, I've been nervous about inviting people to church. I don't know if they're going to come, but guess what? Now they can watch online. How many times have you said, look, I want to share my church service with you? You may not be comfortable with saying, sharing the good news, but let me show you. I want you to come to church with me online. Meet me at 11 o'clock online. Meet me at 9 o'clock online, and let's talk about it. Great opportunity for you to share your faith. Let's go out there. It's the mission. If you choose to accept it, will we go and make disciples. And when we do that, when we do what he's called us to do, he says he will build his church. Today, church, I'm looking forward. God, he's not a man that he should lie. If he promises to build a church and the church ain't being built, it ain't his fault. It's on us. He's given us the message of reconciliation. Now we got to go and share it in every area that you have. But when you go with compassion. See people with the eyes of Jesus. Don't look at the eyes of Jesus, not with the eyes of judgment. Invest in their life, make an impact. Open your ears before you open your mouth. But whatever you do say, don't make sure that your lifestyle doesn't negate whatever your message is. And I believe we will see people's lives change. You know, one thing that I noticed, and I want to say this before I close. You know, the gospel is such a compelling message that a God of the universe loved us unconditionally. And he wants to live with us, and he wants to forgive us of all of our sins. I mean, it's an amazing, attractive message. And I said, man, who would want to reject that? Do you know what I noticed without thinking about this? Maybe it's not that people reject Christ as much as they reject Christians. Maybe they're not rejecting the Christ of Scripture. Maybe it's that the Christians are not portraying the Christ of Scripture. And that's what people are turning away. If that's so, look, man, it's time for us to get back to basics, so we could build his kingdom. Amen.
Dear God, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And I pray that as followers of Christ, that we will be on mission and that we will see your kingdom enlarged. Forgive us. Forgive us for when we've been so caught up in our own world, doing our own thing, that we haven't done what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.